Get Adler. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey, everybody, it's Adler. Welcome to the camp. Is it time? What time is it? Somebody got the time?
2:58.
Oh, we got 2 minutes. Okay. I'll just kind of sit up here. So there's a couple parts. I did this at MFF. Is anybody at the Adler Animates MFF panel?
No.
Okay. Interesting. If anybody wants to, we've got a couple seats toward the front here. We got some in the middle. We can all like kind of come on in and stuff. But nobody is here from the MFF panel. Oh, so this is gonna be kind of interesting. So I'm gonna see what I can do really quick to get the sound to come out of my Surface. But I don't know. We have a couple of video clips that normally I have like plugged into like the speaker, but it's okay. It will be fine. Okay. You what? Yeah, we'll just improv it. Is there like, are people like hanging out in the door? Is there like room for everybody? There's two seats over here, says the nice friend.
There's one over there.
There's one over there too. If you want to come in and sit, it's going to be great. We're gonna have all sorts of learning that we do today.
Sure.
I want to make sure I don't start at the proper time because somebody's running late. But it's okay, we can go ahead and get started. I'm going to pop out from behind me here. Hey everybody! It's that movie Eagle! How you doing today? Are we doing good?
Yeah!
Good. Well, for those of you who don't know me, I am a full-time YouTube animator for the Furry Fandom. I do little animated YouTube shorts. They're my favorite thing. I absolutely love them. I'm also a bargain item reviewer. Ooh. I do some different little reviews and other fursuit videos for my channel. And I'm also a bird! It's pretty cool, right? Okay, cool. Well,
a very cool bird, I might add.
So, thank you. So, last year at MFF, I said at a panel, this is a video clip, but we don't have the audio for it, so I'll kind of just tell you what it says. I basically said, are you ready to learn animation? And then everyone was like, yeah, we're going to learn animation. Oh, I'm so excited. And I didn't talk about animation at all in the panel. And I had a couple people like send me an email and say, Adler, I really liked your panel, but I actually thought I was going to learn something at your panel, and I didn't at all. And I'm kind of sad. It's pretty funny. And I was kind of sad about that. And finally, after like an entire year in the making, I'm finally going to teach animation. Are you ready to learn animation?
Yeah.
Good. Okay, and then there was this fun part where the music played really loud, and then I like danced up and down the like aisleway at MFF, but we can't hear it, so.
It's coming out of the projector.
It's coming out of the speaker?
Projector.
Very loudly. Thanks. I didn't think people would clap for, you know, like the. Woo! Thank you. I don't know who put that slide in. That's so. JPET, was that you?
No.
You didn't do it. You. Oh, that's. It might have been Jay. I don't know. I don't know if it was or anything. Okay. Well, so we're gonna go ahead and get started and. Oh, well, I'm glad you asked. Oh, that's so nice. Animation is creating the illusion and movement of life. So there are all sorts of different ways you can do this. There's stop motion animation. There's 3D animation now. There's old style Disney, 2D animation. And one of the things about animation that you might not know is that you can only draw foxes if you want to have good animation. For whatever reason, all of the like good examples of animation are always foxes. So that's really, really super convenient. But animation, if you haven't started learning animation is not something that's super easy. Animation takes a lot of time. You guys get to see the end product, which is always very fun and about 4 minutes long. And for me, it takes about like 120 hours of work to make a 4 minute episode. So it takes a ton of time. It also takes a ton of practice. I went to school for animation, Like, it is not just something that you can just like, oh, I'm just gonna be good at it. Like, if you want to get good at Aranish, you gotta practice. And that's not the fun part, but it takes a lot of practice. And it takes a lot of balls. A lot of balls. Oh. No, okay, not that kind of, you guys, it ball bounces. Excuse me, balls. Like, you know, the ball bounces, and it's a good way to learn animation. Always start with balls and animation. Also, I basically have no idea what I'm doing. I don't want to say that I'm the expert in animation, so there might be things that I say today that are like the way I see it, and not necessarily like the best way to describe different animation principles and techniques. So I know kind of what I'm doing, but I'm like no means like a college professor, or like don't take like all the things I say like 100%. Like Adler said that, and it's very, very true then. But there are people who do know what they're talking about, and that's these old guys. These are just some they're nine old men. But they're not any nine old men. Oh, no. They're Disney's nine old men. Yeah, who said yeah? Oh, yeah, nine old men. Disney. They're pretty sick. So they took animation from being this, like, kind of like, well, it's like the 20s style animation. That's convenient for the con theme. Neat. They took it from this to what we kind of know now, which is this really fluid and nice, very, like, aesthetically pleasing animation. And what they learned, in short, is that you can only draw foxes. that's all they learned that whole entire time. It's just these nine old guys. But really, they did take animation, kind of cooked it down to its basic principles, you know, like the broth and all this different stuff that goes into the animation stew. And they took it and figured out how to do that. But the two we're going to talk about today are Frank Thomas and Ollie Johnston. I don't actually know which of them it is, but this is Frank and Ollie, and they're pretty neat. So, in animation school, we go over a book. Some of you might have seen this before. It's Disney Animation, The Illusion of Life. And it's like the Bible of animation. It's like a very, very, very good starting off point. So, we're not going to be reading the entire book today, because I don't have that kind of time. I don't think you guys have that kind of time, too. So I'll kind of break it down on what it goes through. It goes through the history of animation. It goes through how animation works. And it goes over foxes. That's the last fox joke, I think. I think it's the last fox joke. I'm not sure. But the 12 principles of animation, which is what this panel is, if you read the con book, I think it's in the title. But yeah, we're going to be going over the 12 principles of animation. And that's what this book goes over the most. And it's very, very, very important. Okay, so that's supposed to that's a way a lot of S's. I'm so sorry. I kinda set you up for failure on that. But SASPASASTASA is an acronym for all the 12 principles of animation. So whenever you're like, oh man, I can't remember all the principles of animation, just say to yourself SASPASASTASA. So the 12 principles of animation, which I'm sorry for the people in the back, you're probably gonna get your like binoculars out so you can see the tiny text up here. Are squash and stretch, anticipation, staging, straight ahead or pose to pose, follow through and overlapping, slow in, slow out, arcs, secondary action, timing, exaggeration, solid drawing, and appeal. I hope you remembered them because there will be a test.
Oh, no.
Yes, so be writing down in your phones. Get out your phones, be writing because there will be a test at the end of this. So, we're going to go ahead and start with the first principle, which is squash and stretch. Oh my goodness. Okay, so this one, a lot of people already know this one. It's kind of the most, like, animation-y thing about animation. It's the squash and stretch. So we got Sylvester here, and he's squashing when he hits the pulp, and he's stretching when he comes down. Now, this happens in real life, actually, too. You can't really see it super well, but this does happen in real life things, and that's why you need to put it in your animation, because it really does just kind of, it's like a feel thing. It, like, helps the feel of the animation when you do the squash and stretch. It just happens really super fast. So, like, this golf ball, when it hits a wall, it, like, really squashes. Wow, it's really pleasing. I put that in there just for myself. But you don't see that in real life, but stuff like that does happen. There's squash and stretch and everything. So it doesn't always have to be, like, Sylvester smashing into a pole all the time, you know? It's not always that crazy. So.
Anticipation. Patience.
Say it!
This one gets you ready for what happens. Did you get what I did there? I waited. It was funny. That was funny. Yeah, you're great, Adler. That's great. A really good example of this is Wile E. Coyote. When he, like, floats in the air. I also really, I talked about this in MFF, too. But it's really funny because I don't use any Disney animation to describe the Disney's 9 or 12 principles animation. It's all, like, Looney Tunes, which is really funny. But a really good visual of anticipation is that, like, floating before the fall. And it doesn't always, again, have to be this exaggerated or anything, but it's a very, very good
staging.
Whoa! Okay, we're just cooking. We're going right along, aren't we? Staging is how things are placed out in your shot. This is less about motion and more about the composition of your entire animation. How things are sitting, you know, not putting everything right in the middle unless you're Wes Anderson. Or like, that's funny, so your film buffs are like, oh yeah, everything is really much. Sorry, that's stupid. That was a stupid joke. But staging is how everything is laid out in your shot. So there's a guy who was pretty good at staging, and it's this guy. Does anybody know this guy?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Alfred Hitchcock! Yeah! Alfred, my man Alfred. He's super cool. And he made a movie called The Birds That Ruin Birds Forever. So in some cases, I really like Alfred Hitchcock. In other cases, he kind of ruined my life. So whatever, Alfred. Touché. At least he's got some good rules, which is the size of any object in your frame should be proportional to its importance to the story at that moment. Alfred Hitchcock. So what this means is that whatever is the most important thing that's happening in your animation, in the composition, should be toward the front, or the most, you know, obvious thing in the shot. So we're going to go through a few examples here, okay? What do you think the most important thing is in this shot?
The mug.
It is the mug. I think in this short, I think there's poison in the mug, and it makes the audience feel like, oh my gosh, there's a lot of anticipation here of what's going to happen, because this mug is here, and it's in between these two characters. I think this guy's trying to poison that lady. So, what is the most, this is kind of a dark one, I'm so sorry, but what is the most important thing in this shot?
The gargoyle?
Owl? Fox?
Pick the bird.
The bird! The birds are always the most important thing in every shot. But this one's kind of interesting, too, because they're both the same size. Norman is from Psycho. Norman is about the same size as the bird, and it's supposed to be like representing like him fighting his like craziness that's going on inside of him. So they're like both equally important in the shot, which you can use that in your things. If things are equally important, you can have them both the same size.
Another
what is the most important? How do I start this again? That was weird. Who put that in there? Is it JFET? Okay. I'm sorry. I was just checking in on you. So. Oh, this one is so long. It's such a long one. All the rest of them are so easy, and then this one's like an entire sentence almost. It sounds like a lot, but we're going to work through it. It's going to be really easy once we get down to the brass tacks of it. Basically, this is impromptu animation versus kind of planned animation. So when you're planning out everything, when you're thinking about how you want to animate, there's kind of two modes. There's straight ahead, which is starting, and just going. And a really good example, I think Jib Cody does this. He starts and just kind of lets it go, and once he gets to the end, he's like, that was great, I liked it, good job. And he makes a bunch of them, and they're really good. If you don't know Jib, you should check out Jib. Jib does real good stuff. But another way of doing animation is doing the keyframe. So you probably heard that term before, like keyframe. Oh, neat. It's drawing each of the like important frames, and then going in and then drawing the in-betweens of those frames. That's where the word tweening comes from, or in between. So if you heard like somebody like, oh, I don't like tweened animation or whatever, it's like, it's an in between. That's just an animation term. So there's whatever. But those are the two different types of ways you can approach starting your animation. Kind of like parts of this presentation, I've been planned. Kind of like when that Bigfoot thing happened. That was totally planned, definitely. Not impromptu whatsoever. So, hey,
Hi.
How are we doing?
Good.
Oh, not just good. We're doing super good. Okay, cool. So everybody stand up. Okay, this is one of my favorite parts. It's time for a review. Okay, I'm going to stand up here. First, we have squash and stretch. So we stretch, stretching up, and squashing. Stretching, and we're squashing. Great job. Okay, cool. So now we got some anticipation. Okay, go ahead and sit down, everybody. We got to get some better staging because we've got some more pose to pose slides to do, okay?
Okay.
You are funny.
Wow. Thanks. Yeah, I lied about all of them being short and concise. This one's kind of a lot, too. This sounds like a lot again, but it's not. It's really a drag. Ba-da-ba. It's another name. It's another term for it. It's a again, I think I'm funny. So a follow through an overlapping action is when an object is moving and then something else is moving because of the object that's moving. A really, really, really easy and good way to think about overlap and follow through is a fursuiter who has a really cute tail and big ears. It's like a tail. It goes like this. And it moves back and forth.
Shake that tail.
I'm going to shake that tail. You know, my butt's moving, but then the tail kind of goes along with it. That's followed through an overlapping action.
Slow down.
I was not excited. I thought there was more to that one. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you just shake your tail. It's the overlap and follow through. Pretty good. Slow and slow. Good job. You read the script. You read the PowerPoint. This is the speed at which things start and stop, and it's really important in animation. You have to think that not everything just starts linearly. Like, nothing in life just goes, like, from 0 to 60 exactly. It has to get to 60. There's no just go, except for in the computer. The computer does what it wants, but the computer's not. So things in real life have slow in and slow out. They start, and get going, and then stop. If anybody works in After Effects at all, it's just the F9 button. This is, again, I have a lot of jokes for people who know the animation stuff, but you just select all your keyframes, press F9, you don't ever have to think about it. Easy. But this one gets kind of complicated because this is one that you can kind of tweak and differ. So if you really want, you know, like something to like slam and hit a wall, then it goes like bam, and then stops. So it like starts, stops up, boom, and stops instantly. And it's, then you get in like, you got balls and graphs and how things move, and it just, this is a big one. This is a huge one. When I look at like other people's animation when they're starting out, this one is almost always forgotten because things don't just perfectly move like exactly, you know, from 0 to 60. And big, like, again, it always goes back to balls moving around. It's crazy. Always comes back to balls.
Arcs.
See that? Okay, good. Now we got a good short one again. Thank goodness. There's a nice short one. This describes the path an object takes. So it gets really, really confusing. It's not slow in and slow out. It is like the physical path that an object takes. I even get this one kind of confused in my head because I'm like, it's the same thing, but it's the literal path in which things travel. So this is an example of just like a ball moving very linearly and then bouncing off, like it's on the moon or something. Like if there's no gravity, this is what it would be doing. But nothing in life just moves like a direct, it always has like a little bit of whoop, and then you add that like slow in, slow out, and it just, oh, it's so good. It's so much better than the previous one. It's so much better. And it applies to more than just balls. It can be like an arm that's moving. You know, your arm doesn't like robot, like do-do-do, it like kind of drags in. Your feet, when you pick them up, you know, you don't like shuffle like across like this, like you pick your leg up, like everything moves in an arc. So in your animation, you should be putting arcs and things along that go along with it, you know?
Secondary
action. Okay, this is another one that's kind of a lot, but when you think about it, it makes sense. Secondary action is action that enhances the main animation. So if something is happening, it's something else that's happening alongside in the frame. It's not drag or overlap. It's not like things happening because of an object happening. It's like a full other thing that is happening in the animation. So if a character's talking on the phone, the action is them talking on the phone and their mouth moving, but then they might be playing like with the cable, if it was like one of those like cable phones or something. It's like kind of boring for the character to be like, hello? Yes, I would like to order a pizza. But using secondary action, you can be like, hello? Yeah, I need to order a pizza. Like, why are they so nervous about the pizza? You can tell because they're like fidgeting. You know, you gotta add in that extra personality. It's telling a story using more than just, you know, the words that are happening. Animation, it's great. A really good example is during the Love Stone Jr., like, anybody seen this before? The Pixar short?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know the ball, you know the you know that. But the secondary action would be the bigger lamp kind of looking and reacting to it. Because then that's what you as the audience member are kind of doing. Mm-hmm. And it just enhances the main action that's going on in the short. The other lamp could be like, hello, I'm a lamp. But by adding it, like, moving in, it just adds more to the whole entire animation itself. It's really, really good. But it shouldn't ever be more interesting than the main animation. If you're, like, really crazy, you know, and doing stuff in the background while the, like, main actor is doing something, it's, like, distracting. Make sure it's never, like, too, like, super interesting. Okay. That was quite a lot. I've been talking kind of fast. I hope this is not just, like, glossing over and going into the next room. But it was kind of a lot. So let's go ahead and review. We got overlapping, which is the tail's moving around. We got slow in, slow out, which is the speed at which things start and stop. We got arcs, which is the path that things travel. And then if my PowerPoint, there we go. And then we got secondary action, which is action that's happening alongside the main action. It's great. We're like 8 steps of the way through this thing. Moving on!
Timing!
This is an important one. This is the pace of the actions, not the speed at which things are going, because that's slow in, slow out. This is like the pace of things that are happening in the animation. So during like a really emotional part, things move slower because it's emotional. It's not fast. But then during action sequences, like everything's moving like really, really fast and the cuts are real quick and the humor is there or whatever, you know. It's the timing in which the animation and events are unfolding. It's not slow in, slow out. And it's less, it's again, it's not how fast things are happening, it's like the pace at which they're going. So to just use an example, I'm going to make this one the shortest one we talk about, so you remember that. It was like, I don't even remember that one. Oh yeah, because it's a timing thing, so put that point in there. Oh, this is the fun one. Okay, was there, hi NASA, anybody in suit up here? Okay, cool. So we'll do two. We'll do about 2 suits. I see 2 like right here in the middle. So that's perfect. Good job. Thank you for sitting in the middle. This is a fun one. So I'll let you know when it's time. And you'll be good. Don't be scared. Normal things in life are boring. Can we agree?
Yes.
That's why we come to conventions in like downtown Boston and dress up as animals and go to a panel where an animal gives a presentation about animation.
Yep.
That doesn't happen in real life. This is great. This is a big, huge exaggeration, if I do say so myself. Mickey on the right here is so boring. He's like T-pose Mickey, like, hey everybody, it's me, Mickey Mouse. Please come to Disney. He's boring. So just like he's like a flat character. But like adding in like some poses, you know, exaggerating poses of like, hey, I'm Mickey, and you want to come into Disney World? Like it's cooler. It's just more interesting. This is a great example of exaggeration. It's boring. It's fun. Okay. So, let's do, what's your name on the right here?
Dio.
Dio?
Dio.
Okay, cool. Was it with an A or an O?
O.
Oh.
Oh! Okay. So, come up, stand in the middle here, and then go, like, walk all the way to the back. Yep, good job. Okay, great. You're doing great, sweetie. Okay. Now, walk from there to, like, the PowerPoint here, like you would. Yep, just out of suit. Yep. It's like, it reminds me of like a Sims animation, like you put him in a fursuit or something in the Sims and they just like, I am walking to the place. And like, that's not super fun, that's kind of boring, do we agree?
Yeah.
Because there's so much more, there's so many different ways to get places. This is feeling a lot like Fursuit 101 now with Gale. If anybody's ever seen that panel, I just kind of ripped this right out of that. So now, what we're going to have you do is just turn around. And now, you're going to walk to the other side as if you own the Boston Park Plaza. You own the hotel. Yeah! This is your hotel! Way Way more fun. Way more fun. Okay, good. You can go ahead and sit down. Let's give a round of applause to Neo. Yeah! Round of applause again. Good job. Thank you. Good. Okay, cool. Now, other friend here. Yes, would you like to do one? I've got one for you. Okay, cool. Go ahead and stand up. Come up here to behind the PowerPoint and face that way. Okay, so we're going to have you walk as if, I don't know, maybe this is the case. We're going to have you walk as if you've been suiting all day and you're so tired. Ready, go. Oh, so tired. I am so tired. It's the crazy, crazy, crazy day. Yeah, that was great. Round of applause. Yeah, exaggeration. It doesn't have to be a ton. Like, as you notice, they didn't like, I'm gonna like really just like fall down and, you know, fall asleep. This still happened and there's still things that have to be crazy, but just having a little more exaggeration with your animation is always better. Exaggeration with your animation. Gosh, that's a tongue twister.
Solid
drawing. Okay, this one has not aged well. It's being able to draw a character as if it's in 3D, but now we have 3D, so that's not really an issue anymore. But we can go ahead and kind of say that it's just animation that has a lot of weight to it. A lot of times in a lot of different special effects, if you've noticed, like all those new Disney remake stuff, like sometimes the special effects feel really floaty. Like it doesn't feel like it's actually there. And it's because it doesn't have the weight of like what a real life thing would have. So we kind of now say that this is like the characters feel as if they're in the space and have weight. But a good 2D example is the movie Cats Don't Dance. Has anybody seen this?
Yeah.
It's so good. Underrated classic. Turner Animation. It's fantastic. Go check it out. It's on YouTube. You can rent it. It's $1. Or if you want to watch ads. I think if you can watch it with ads if you want to do that. Check it out. Good anthropomorphic fun here. But this movie does a fantastic job of solid drawing. These are like two-dimensional characters that feel like they can turn all the way around and it just is normal. They feel really 3D. Even in the thumbnails of like what the animation would look like, you can tell that the character, you just have a 3D kind of idea and like so, so good. This comes with practice, a lot of practice and drawing and stuff. But being able to draw as if things are in 3D or things having weight is solid drawing. Kind of a weird one.
A peel.
Where? A banana peel? Oh, yeah. I don't want to slip. That was stupid. I'm sorry. Okay, so a peel is... It's hard. There's not really a real definition to it, so I'm going to kind of use a couple examples. A peel is just... It kind of looks good. Like, it just looks good, is the idea behind a peel. So, a really good example I always like to use is the Rugrats. If you look at the Rugrats on an objective level, they kind of are gross. They just kind of are a kind of a gross character design. But when you put them all together and make the whole show kind of look gross, it kind of works. Which is really, really confusing. We can all agree, though, that Reptar is very cute. Reptar is super cute. Look how happy he is. He reminds me of Blazin. Another good example, and this one is very relevant and very recent, is the whole debacle with the old... If this is not the literal definition of appeal, I don't know what is. Because the entire universe got so mad that they made him look like this, which is way better, if we can agree, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, how did that even... I have no idea how that even happened. I don't know. They had to go through so many people. Why?
Why?
Oh, bad. It was bad. Hey, guess what?
Thank you.
It's quiz time.
Oh, God.
Okay, cool. So I bought some pencils and paper.
No.
Did don't want to watch it, or you don't want to do the, you don't want to do a test. No. But I worked so hard. The PowerPoint is right on my face. Fine. I guess we'll just watch a movie instead. Right. Okay. So you know, I thought about this in my head on the way here. But you know, like, you knew it was going to be a good day when that cart with the TV, like, bungee strapped to it came into class. Oh! Big old CRT TV, or like, CRT TV, and it's like, roll it in, and you're like, oh, we're going to watch Magic School Bus, or like, Schoolhouse Rock, or Bill Nye, and it's going to be so good.
Hell yeah.
It's so good. So, as I talked about before, we had the movie Cats Don't Dance. Again, underrated classic. Please go watch it. It is very important. And this is going to be a little awkward because I don't have the sound for it, but we're going to watch kind of a clip, a part of a clip at least, of the animation. Actually, it might be good not to have the sound because we can just really look at the animation and see how they're using all the principles of animation within the little clip that's going to happen. So, for a reminder, here are the 12 principles of animation. Just kind of take a moment and look at them. All right, good, good job. Good job looking at the 12 principles. Remember them in your brain. And we're going to watch a little bit of Cats Don't Dance. Again, I might cut this part a little short because it does go on for a little tiny bit within that. Having the audio is a little strange. Or if we're all very quiet, we can hear it coming out of the projector. So we'll probably just watch a little bit of it, but you can get kind of an idea of how the principles of animation are used. And then you're going to watch every single animated movie after this, like I do, and go, wow, that was some really good slow in, slow out. Wow. Oh, overlap and follow through on that tail. Oh, so good. Super, super, super good. Oh, you can kind of hear it. It's really quiet, though. This movie is, it's so, 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 so good. Like, he's so cute.
Oh.
And, like, really, really, like, bungee and stuff. And then I think they actually had somebody choreograph, like, pretty much all of it. And then they, like, kind of, they didn't rotoscope it, but they used it as, like, really, really high reference and stuff. It's so good. Also, this gives me a moment to stand here and breathe after I talked for, like, so long. I'm going to go backstage here. There's no backstage.
I see Darla age 50 years here.
If somebody came in right now, they'd be like, why are we all just very quietly watching a movie? But anyway, you get kind of the point with that. So, what do we do now? I always end my panels with this question. I think it's really important. I kind of like to go over, why is it important? A lot of, you know, a good majority of you might not even go out to do animation after this. So what do we do with this information, Adler? You just taught me a bunch of cool stuff, and I guess I'm glad about that, but what do we do with that now? These are just principles of animation, and they can be applied to everything. Exaggeration can be applied to drawing. If you're just a normal, like, artist who doesn't want to draw like 800 different pictures a day, you want to draw one, you can put exaggeration in it. You can use it in all sorts of different things, a lot of these principles. They're just guidestones. They're guidestones to animation. They're not necessarily strict rules that you have to follow. So if you are an animator, feel free to just kind of like, you can go, you know what, I don't want this to have very much slow and slow. I'm just going to take that out and do it linearly because it might be funnier. It might make it better. So you don't have to follow these completely 100% exactly. We use them in everyday life. Again, with exaggeration, fursuit acting, you can use so many of these. If you've been to a dance competition, a lot of times they talk about like, yeah, you gotta be working on your levels and stuff. That's arcs. That's just the arc of like your movement and stuff. Like you can use so many of these things in your everyday life. And again, like I said, it was a suit acting, right? Forgot that was the next slide. So, oopsie! And we can take them with us. You can take and think about these things when you're watching animation. What makes this animation good? Why do I really like animated foxes? It's probably because of the animation principles and appeal. Ha! I got you! I got it! That's why you're all furries now, is because of appeal. Yeah! Psychology here, therapists and stuff. There's another really good book if you are really interested in checking out animation. This is a book by Richard Williams. It's called The Animator Survival Kit. It's like they took the Disney's animation, The Illusion of Life, and then simplified it even more, and that really shows you it's a really good way to learn like ball bounce or how an arm moves or all that different stuff. It's really, really super good. And Richard Williams, I don't know if you know this, but he was the animator and I think the art director for Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And he passed away this last year. And I was talking to a friend, and it was this weird thing because he's, other than James Baxter, which is a really, he's a really good animator too, but he was like one of the last really, really great animators that I can think of. And it was like, I'm on Discord, you know, at night, and I'm like, wow, it's really sad that like Richard Williams passed away. My friend was like, well, I guess that like we are the new Richard Williams. And I was like, oh, my brain. It's like the new Richard Williams is somewhere, you know, amongst us now, which is just crazy. It's like, it's us now. Like, we are the ones who have to take these things that some old men that worked at Disney decided were the things and run with it. And I think that's super cool. Like, if you are really, really interested in starting animation, try it out. Like, definitely try it out. Like, practice. Try it out because it is very, very rewarding. It's a lot of work, I tell you. But once you, like, get it done, it's really, really super good. So what do we do now? We do our best to make great art. We make great things. If you're a content creator, go out there and try to make your best stuff. You can do it. I believe in you. Y'all got those ideas in your head, and you're like, ah, one day I'm going to do it. Today's the day! I mean, probably not right now, because we're at Annie, but, like, when you get home, that's the day. You get there, and, like, I want to see it. Like, I want to see what great art you have. Like, keep making stuff. Keep creating. It's awesome and super, super rewarding. And we hold the guidebook for the next generation of great animation in our hands. We are it. You know, there's so many cool, like, YouTube animators that aren't, you know, me. I think I'm pretty cool, but, you know, whatever. But, like, we are it. We are the next generation of animators. It's right here. It's sitting in this room or somewhere else. Who knows? But, like, we are the next generation, and we can, like, you know, take that. We can be like, yeah, I'm going to be so good at animation. I'm going to practice the whole bunch. It's up to us to keep up this illusion we call life. And that's basically it. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. That is the end of the panel. I think I really kind of ran through it, so I'm super sorry. If you want to get pictures, I want to get out of this room because there's not a lot of space, and it is like roasty, toasty toaster oven in here. So yes, are you? Did you have a question? You're running, and you're gonna be like, whoa. Are you good? You're just hot.
Oh,
okay, you're good.
That's all.
Okay, cool. So, thank you for coming. Like we always say, help someone smile today! Yeah! That's the panel. Good job. I hope you learned something. That's it. I think it says I'm here. Yep. Good stuff. Class dismissed. Go out and go just make good stuff. Keep making things. Glad you came. Thank you for coming. Hope you have a good con.